Hey now, hey now, hey.
This is what dreams. I thought we was doing the Lizzie McGuire. No?
No, I don't know Lizzie McGuire.
Okay.
She is not in my lexicon.
All right. Well, in that case, welcome to episode 3 of season 2.
Yes, Trace.
Of the Get Your Life Project. Hi, Sierra.
Hi, Tiffany.
Now you guys know who we are.
Just the two of us.
It is. We can make it if we try. Just the two of us. Because we ain't got no guests this episode.
No. This episode is just me and you.
Mm-hmm. But I think we got good content. I'm excited.
This is exciting.
I'm excited for what we talking about
today. Get to talk about what we talking about today, Tiffany.
We're going to be talking about college.
College?
College.
College.
University?
What?
Higher ed. Because it's a scam.
It is a scam.
It's a scam. Like, if Joanne the Scammer was, like, an institution, it's higher ed.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Mm-hmm. It's like, is it all of them?
I think so.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm.
But if you're new here, or if you're rejoining us, mm-hmm. we like when you join us.
Yes, we do.
As I said, we are the Get Your Life Project. We are the show that speaks directly from us. That's mm-hmm. me and Sierra, two lovely black ladies.
Yay.
To pretty much the rest of y'all. About anything and everything related to what?
Black millennial issues.
There you go.
And struggles.
Sometimes non-black, because we all struggling, but mostly black because we're black. So.
But we also have guests, Tiffany.
We do.
We like guests. We like people to come visit. Come sit with us.
We want you guys to come sit with us. And, you know, if you are interested in doing so, we're going to tell you how to do that.
Yep.
At the end of the episode.
End of the show.
Okay. But we got some new updates.
We do.
For y'all. We got some new things we're going to be talking about. Because we want to give the people what they want. And I think what the people want is good news
mm-hmm.
and hot topics here.
What?
So tell them about the hot topics segment. Tell them about that.
So we have some new segments, you guys. We have the Tell Me Something Good segment.
Tell me something good.
Mm-hmm. So that will be you or I and maybe our guest talking about what? What are we going to talk about?
Good news. You know, we only, you know, chat with you guys every 2 weeks and mm-hmm. a lot can happen in those 2 weeks, you know, and we want to tell you about the good things mm-hmm. that's happening. So what has happened to you that is good? Tell me something good. See you.
Oh man, a lot of stuff has happened. Good stuff, bad stuff. But I've had some work success, let me tell you.
We like success.
I just had an interview as a recruiter for GoPuff.
GoPuff, sponsor us. We love you. I'm watching you. Okay. Sierra might be working for you.
I might be working for you.
So, get at us.
You know? And it went well. I'm waiting on my invitation for a second interview. So we'll see how that goes, and that'll be in person if I do it, and it'll be with some decision makers, so I'll be able to go in there and schmooze and say, hey, give me more money. I mm-hmm. love you. I'm poor. Yes,
you're poor because you went to college. But anyway,
Facts.
You know, I think some good things have been happening to me. Some
what
good
happened
things
to you, Tiffany?
About. You know, randomly,
mm-hmm.
a PR rep from mm-hmm. Lifestyle Condoms.
Ooh.
You know how I like condoms, Sierra.
Yes, you should wear condoms, guys.
They do. They found out that I am a sex positive writer. Mm-hmm. And they mm-hmm. won't send me stuff because, you know, in case you didn't know, May is National Masturbation Month.
Yeah.
You know, and if you're looking to celebrate, I'm going to tell you how. And make some suggestions, so stay tuned for that, okay? That is my
that
good
is exciting. If she got some extra, like, vibrators mm-hmm. or, like, you know, some toys she want to, like, let her sister use, I'll give positive feedback mm-hmm. to you, and you could write about it and be like, my friend said mm-hmm. that her head blew off, so.
Just, so use it, cuz.
Just let me know, okay?
Guaranteed to blow that head off, both of them. Hey.
Ha! Okay, ooh, all right, back. Let's go back.
We back.
Had to take a minute.
We did, but we back because there's another new segment.
There is
called Pop Corner,
and mm-hmm. you may have had the chip. If you haven't, you should go and get their white cheddar chips. If they want to, you know, sponsor us too, because
yeah,
I like
get
their
them
chips.
On GoPuff.
You can get them on
and
GoPuff.
And then we can have both.
And then we
sponsor.
Can have exactly we make some
it.
Money because we poor and we need money. But Pop Corner is a segment where we'll talk about kind of like hot topics that are happening that we just can't keep our tongues from lashing about to each other. Usually we're in our like Facebook Messenger going at it like, why did they do this and who said it was okay for that? So instead of yelling at each other, we decided to yell at you about things that are happening. And you probably agree with this, and maybe you don't. If you don't, that's all right. But the first thing I want to talk about, did you see Infinity War?
I did see it. I saw it twice.
I did too. I bootlegged it the second time. I was being ratchet, but the first time. What? It wasn't me. It wasn't me. It was some meme off the corner. He sold it to me for $5. You get him. Get him. But anyway.
CDs, DVD. Anyway.
Yes. So what did you think?
I think that they didn't have to just disappear in the dust. You know those like weeds that you
spoiler blow? Alert if you didn't see it yet.
Yeah, I'm like, my bad if you haven't seen it, but it's whatever. Like, if you were a true nerd, you would have saw it by now.
You would have seen it so, when it came out. So
see a foot.
Like the first night.
But like, when people just started disappearing, it reminded me of those, what are they, dandelion weeds? Those things you just blow and they just kind of go off instead of wind. They didn't have to do Peter Parker like that.
He was like, oh my God. I don't want to go, Mr. Stark. I don't feel so good. I don't want to go. I'm like, bro.
He was just trying to take a school trip.
He was.
And then he ended up saving a damn city. And then that ship got him. He got abducted by aliens.
He did.
And they took him. Like, everybody, like, Thanos snapped his, like, dusty purple hands.
He did.
And then people just started disappearing. And then he, like, sat down on, like, the mountaintop. I was
and
waiting for him.
And cracked open a cold one?
It's, like, cold 45. Like, he was about to start strumming his banjo and watch the sunset on his creation. You know, God, nigga? Like, I just...
He went and, like, sold his crops. He chilling. In the beyond and shit.
How did you feel about Wakanda's role?
It was coming...
Wakanda forever.
Sorry. Aha. No. So
literal company.
I feel like they couldn't give them more juice because they had the movie just came out like 2 months ago.
True.
And it feels like it's been out for forever. But I think that they. It was nice to see them in the home battle as the home battlefield. Mm-hmm. That was dope. And like, I would have thought they would have been kicking out more technology because.
Yeah. The barrier was dope.
The aliens that was coming through was dope. I'm like, out of all the Chitauri from the first Avengers movie. I sound like a nerd right now. But they sucked. I didn't like they was flying around in there, like cover spaceships, like chariot wagons and shit.
Who was this?
The Chitauri from the first Avengers movie.
Who they them alien people?
Yeah, the aliens that came out of the like hole with the like dragon alien ship that was like flying around and shit.
Okay.
Those bad guys were they seemed like they had like a brain about them, but I think savagery is a little scarier. So to watch them like try to like rip through the barrier and they like cutting themselves in half and like ready to take people down, that was creme de la creme evil alien. If you have
creepy
to,
homegirl with like the severe smoky eye,
like
we have blood to spare, man.
We have blood to spare.
You just sent all these like extraterrestrial dogs to come down here and just
and start eating people,
yeah, for no reason because you petty.
She was petty. I didn't like her, but obviously we shouldn't like her. So
look, the Dora Milaje and the Jabari was fucking shit up. They were. Like,
but then they started to melt away. They turned into ash.
They did. They didn't have to do T'Challa. They didn't have to do T'Challa.
This is no place to die. And then he died. He gonna come back though, right?
He is.
Okay.
You know, another spoiler alert. Spoiler alert. They all come back.
They have to. Unless, no, I heard this theory that they could end up coming back, but the timeline is before the Avengers Infinity War.
Hmm.
So, like, it would be in the past before this happens.
I heard it's going to be a new team. I didn't know if that meant, like, the younger people, because you ain't going to see Robert Downey no more. Like, yeah, Captain American Army and tired.
Yeah, they are. They are. He trying to get married with Pepper and have a baby and shit.
Yeah.
And they alluded to that. And I'm like, I understand, but his suits... His suits.
Imagine with a Spider-Man suit. When I'm like, spider arms came off, like, oh!
I have to say this, and I know this is going to sound bad, but Thanos is my guy. Thanos was out here hand to hands to anybody.
Did you see what he did to the Hulk? I didn't.
He bitch smacked the Hulk so hard. And this is a joke from that I saw on Instagram that the Hulk had to rethink his life. He was like, maybe anger isn't the way.
That's why he wouldn't come out. Like, he put baby in the corner. Like, Hulk was not present for the rest of the movie.
He wasn't with it.
So we feel like to say that if you have not seen it,
go see it.
I'm judging you. Shame on you. But there's still time for redemption. Go see it. Go see it more than once.
We don't want to get them the juice. I know they already do have it, but if you was going to go see something more than once, it should have been Black Panther.
I mean, plug Black Panther come out on what? Do they still make DVDs? It comes out on May 8th somewhere digitally.
It's digital and it's Blu-ray on the 15th.
Like, do I got to get Blu-ray player?
No, I'm just going to get it digital on iTunes.
Like, I want to see the 4-hour cut that we should have got the first time around.
I wasn't going to sit through it. I would have.
I'm gonna watch directors. I want to listen. Remember commentary directors would do commentary. You could just watch it, and people was doing voiceovers of what was happening. I want that. I might watch that. Black Panther
this time. Speaking of Black Power and Black Panther, Kanye. Foolishness. Kanye.
And his free thought.
He said slavery was a choice, bro. How you feel? I don't think he will.
I feel like it's a shame. That, you know, he wasn't alive back then.
So he
I think
see?
That had there just been a Black prophet, the likes of Kanye West, to like tell our great great grandmother that they didn't have to get on that boat. You could have stayed the fuck home. If they had known that that was an option that was available to them,
you think they would have
stayed? We wouldn't be living in systemic oppression. That's crazy. Like, we had the solution all along in Kanye West. He uncovered it for us, and I thank him so much for that.
If anyone doesn't know, I think she's being a little facetious.
Deeply. Because that's stupid. Like,
My recommendation, and I'm not going to give him a lot of airtime, but my recommendation for him, and I recently just went to the National African American Museum in Washington, D.C. So if at all possible, could you go to the National African American Museum in Washington, D.C.? Start from the bottom, work your way up to the top. You might have your Black ass in there at the top because they do celebrate artists that might have had some cultural impact. Hopefully they take you out if you are in there because you out here disrespecting us and our culture. But go there. Go look and see what they did to us. And then come back and say that it was a choice. Have you ever heard of buck breaking? They would rape Black men, sodomize them in front of their children, their wives, in order to show dominance.
I didn't know that was a thing.
That was a thing. So,
but it didn't have to be because he had a choice.
He had a choice to get raped. Like, guys in prison have choices to get raped, right? Because he was like, you know what I want to do? I'm going to go get raped in my butt in jail. That's a choice. That's not a choice. If it was a choice, matter of fact, let it be a choice. Go back in time, tell your specific ancestor that it's a choice and they don't got to do it. Let them get killed off. And then we ain't got to worry about you saying dumb shit in 2018.
Yeah. And disguising it as free thought.
Free thought.
Taking selfies with Trump.
He's in the sunken place. Somebody save him.
But because he's in a sunken place, he done boosted support amongst Black conservatives for Trump is what I heard.
And there's still some liberals that are okay with him right now. If you want to separate him from his music, you're still giving him money to say the dumb shit that he's saying. So
his royalties give him a platform for this anti-Black nonsense that he's spewing. Don't do it.
Don't do it.
Also, don't give R. Kelly any money.
Or Bill Cosby. Speaking of Bill,
I just wanted to touch on Jell-O Pudding Bill real quick.
And he's an alma mater at Temple University.
He did it. That's how I feel about it. Like, y'all, it's 2018. Mm. People have been accusing this man for 50 years. Like, our great grandmoms, or grandmoms was probably accusing him. Stop it.
Do we think that what he was doing was a way of protesting the systematic oppression that is constant in America by only giving these quaaludes to white women and sodomizing their women?
But he assaulted women of color.
Look,
I saw comments. Basically, I think that in the black community, anytime somebody gets a bit of a platform and a bit of prestige, we get so caught on the fact that it seems like one of us made it out, mm-hmm. that we choose to uplift that and kind of downplay their transgressions.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a problem because it silences victims. And it places, I think, the blame back on, like, victims of sexual assault. Mm-hmm. Particularly, I think, with people of prestige or people who got platforms who are black men. Specifically, I saw a black woman somewhere on Facebook who was like, they just did this because he was about to buy NBC10 and won't ever let black men, you know, have something nice. He had something nice. He had a great 80s TV show.
True.
That was a good representation. It gave some black people some hope. That was great. The work that he was doing was great. That was the greatness right there. The rest that he was doing should have been clocked decades ago.
But see, the problem with that, and I agree that he needs to pay for whatever crimes that he has committed over the years. He's admitted to some of these transgressions. And
in legal depositions.
Should pay for it. Pay for it. But my issue is we can't separate him and his personal life from the legacy that he built. And that's a shame if we lose that credibility as a black community, because it's like saying, like, yeah, he was amazing, but he was out here raping everybody, so we can't have the Cosby Show on television anymore.
I mean, I think it is a shame, but also low-key don't care, because I'm always gonna stand on the side of victims. That's just me personally. Like, some people might have, I don't know, the ability to kind of separate those things out. And for me, I think it depends on the level of atrocity that mm-hmm. you commit. Not to be out here playing, like, you know, oppression Olympics or anything like that. Like, I don't know if I would be like, oh, it's okay. He just ran somebody down with his car. Turn on that show. Like, not saying that that would be better. I don't want to make it sound like that. But I just feel like because of what he did, how often he did it, and how long it got swept over the rug, that means his mm-hmm. like, whole team, his damn wife, is complicit. I'm like, nah, I can't vibe with it no more.
Okay.
Personally.
Fair enough.
But, yeah.
I don't have nothing else to say about him. I hope that we learn from this and the next black person or black man who is, like, out here trying to put their best foot forward. Just put your best foot forward.
And learn what consent is. That's number one. And,
yes. Stop it.
Believe victims. That's what I got to say about that.
Stop it. Just stop.
Cut it out.
People will have sex with you willingly when you have money. You could be as ugly as a damn shoe.
You can still be, like, ugly as a shoe and be broke as fuck.
And people will still have sex with you. Exactly. You don't have to attack people, get them drugs, liquor. Like, you don't have to do that. It's not necessary. People will willingly give you the cheeks if that's what you're looking for. So just go and get it willingly. And then you don't got to have your, like, whole legacy and, like, everybody hating you destroyed. And then, like, be some, like, 80-year-old blind man getting, like, flashed by some lady. Did you see him tackle that lady that was trying to, like, yell at him?
I did.
She ain't had no bra on.
I saw that.
He didn't, because he can't see no more, because he, like, 2 seconds away from being dead.
He saw people when he was touching them inappropriately.
And on that note, let's move into our main topic.
Talking about, you know, higher ed and the scammery that is a college degree.
Is your degree worth it? Is it putting its thing down, flipping it, and reversing it, Tiffany? Or did you just... You just a broke-ass John.
I mean, I'm just a broke-ass John.
Okay.
Currently. I got dreams, though.
Let's start off from the beginning. What did you go to school for?
I went to school in 2011
mm-hmm.
for English and communications. Mm-hmm. What that meant is I read a lot of Shakespeare
mm-hmm.
and learned some stuff about PR. That's what that meant. That's what I did with my degree for 4 years.
That's nice.
What'd you do, Sierra?
Man, so I went for English and creative writing, which was my creative writing track. Towards the end, I got a minors in women's studies. So what that means is I read a lot of Shakespeare as well. That's how we met. Yay.
To be
or not to be. That is the question. Modern American Lit. I'm pretty sure that's where we kind of like solidified our like lives together.
It is, because that's where we learned that like everything is a lie.
Everything
that, like,
is
life
a lie.
Is decaying.
You remember the horny feet? The ice cream? What, Emperor of Ice Cream? That was... We talked about that a long goddamn time in that class.
Yeah, if you don't know what the the period of like modern literature in America is basically it was a bunch of like disgruntled authors mm-hmm. like the 1920s fleeing the U.S. and mm-hmm. like talking about sex and how like
and nature is cyclical
and how like capitalism is the devil and blah yep. blah blah.
Mm-hmm.
Fun fact.
We read the Great Gatsby in that class as well. I remember that. But anyway, and I did some creative writing, which meant that from time to time I took some like graduate school classes and I wrote a book that I didn't publish because why would I do that? And then I went back like a dumbass after I finished.
She went back.
Yeah. I went back and got
not only is we talking about under
my master's degree.
About graduate school.
MFA. Yeah.
Do you think that graduate school offered better resources than when you went to get your bachelor's?
It probably would have if I didn't go to the same goddamn school. So the resources that they didn't have in undergrad were the same resources that they didn't have in graduate school. Mm-hmm. I think that it's more practical. Like, I think that when you go and get your master's degree, they're trying to set you up to find a job where your bachelor's is set up to kind of like enjoy shit and mm-hmm. like not really use it in a skill driven work society. Mm-hmm. I don't think that that helped.
I mean, based off the fact that we both went to the same damn school,
mm-hmm.
went to a liberal arts college, mm-hmm. and essentially both major in humanities,
yep.
which from our experience has been low paying or no paying.
Hey.
Because of that, you know, I was doing some research and I found this Business Insider Roundup
mm-hmm.
that talked about the 28 highest paying jobs for 2018. And I'm going to just give you all the top three. So number one is an anesthesiologist.
Okay.
Their median annual salary is $269,600. Their projected growth rate from 2016 to 2026 is a growth rate of 17.8%.
So the sciences.
Yep. Number two, surgeon.
So the sciences.
Annual salary $252,910. 16.8% projected growth rate.
Mm-hmm.
And number three is obstetrician and gynecologist.
So vaginas.
Exactly. And their annual salary is around $234,000.
Because vaginas get sick if you yep. didn't know. They get sick. They need their own doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Like somebody just like mm-hmm. shove stuff in there and like poke around and like pull babies out of there and like, you sick down there? You don't feel good? Let me figure out what's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So science. Okay. So you're telling me my humanities degree,
it's trash, it's garbage, throw it away.
I use it as a doormat anyway. So
mine was a paperweight for a while. What did you do when you got yours? I left it in the envelope for a couple of weeks. And then I had my dad get me a $2 Walmart frame for it. And then I set it on top of my radiator for about 2 years. Like, I didn't even hang that shit up. For what? So it could mock me? I didn't want to walk past it.
Mine, I got mine, and my mom took it, and it's still in the envelope, the first one. She spilled juice on it at some point, so it got, like, a little red juice stain on it, which is, I guess, about as useful as it is. It's a coaster. And then
it soaked up the
it did soak it up.
Your degrees are absorbent.
Little known
tissue
fact.
Just take your degree out the frame.
Blow right on it. My MFA is sitting in front of it in the envelope in my mom's room on her dresser. So
if it's not hanging up?
No.
If it's not in the frame.
I got a picture of it on my phone and I like took and used that at my job when I was like doing work and they needed to know my degrees
mm-hmm.
but they don't. I don't work in my field, so like I have a bachelor's in English and creative writing, I have a MFA in creative writing, and I am in human resources, so not really helping me right now. I have like an administrative job basically.
I was going to ask you about that. I was going to ask you to kind of, you know, give us some insight into what your path post-college has been like.
Okay. Well, when I graduated with my bachelor's, I was encouraged highly by my parents to go back to school And I didn't really know what I wanted to do, because I feel like what I've learned in retrospect now is when you are going for your bachelor's, and this is just like wisdom, this is like advice, this is whatever you want it to be, this is just me talking into the void. You might already think this yourself. When you go get your bachelor's, if you're going and you haven't gone yet, or you're like in the midst of it, or you finished and you already know, use those 4 years not only to go to class and try to have good grades, if you're going to go to college, you don't have to, but please, please figure out what you want to do in that time period. Like, you don't have to do internships if you don't want to, because I was lazy. I didn't do internships like that. I didn't like network with my like peers and all that. But sit somewhere where you don't got to pay nobody no money for nothing. You ain't got no bills for shit. Like, you could just sit somewhere and they going to feed you and give you a place to sleep, even if you got a roommate, and fucking think.
You better live at home.
Think.
If you can.
If you can. But you might want to go away because your family life might not be that great, or you need the experience being on. But go away and think. Use your brain. Don't think about class. Do your work. But think. Literally think about what's going on. Because if I had thought about my path, then I probably would have been in a better place now. Mm-hmm. And I would have known not to go back and get my master's in what I went back for.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, after I graduated, I went right back to school. I worked in the hospitality field for 2 years. And I realized at that point, like, watching the turnover rate at my job, and, like, I basically saw almost the entire property. It was, like, 200 employees come and go. And I'm like, why is the turnover rate in this place? The attrition here is crazy. That's a HR term.
I mean, because employees are disposable.
Because employees are disposable, because when you're working in a burnout industry like the hospitality field, all you're dealing with is like customer service shit. And that's annoying. Like, it's annoying. Unless you like in a union where you are guaranteed, you know, pay increases and stuff like that, you probably are going to leave that job. So I became interested in human resources. I'm like, how can we like fix this where people actually enjoy going to work? And then I quit my job for unforeseen purposes. Like, my boss there like lost his mind at some point, and I ended up quitting. And then I started temping with Robert Half, which is a temp agency. I linked a few people up with Robert Half.
Including me. That's a plug in case any of y'all looking yes. for some temporary.
Let us
temp
know.
To, you know, permanent.
Temp to permanent, temp to hire. Typically is temp work, and then I was lucky enough to only have to go through it once, so I got into that position with them in the HR field, and the job that I was working at hired me on like within a couple of months. So I was lucky. Some people go through it a few times and they still don't get hired. Some people go through it a few times and they do find a full-time job, typically administration work, so I can help you out. But after that, I'm like, now I'm considering going back to school again, but now for something that I'm actually willing to do something with.
Mm-hmm.
Because the humanities does not pay. I'm lazy, and I don't want to do a lot of work. And if you're like,
I mean, but you wrote books.
I wrote books. That's that I did. It is a lot of work, but I don't want to like push it myself. Like, I want a job where I can make constant money and live well and go on vacations and shit. And then in my leisure time, I can like push my book out.
Mm-hmm.
I want to have a job that I enjoy. But I have a question for you, Tiffany. But let me, what was your path after you got out of went to Rosemont?
Lord, I don't want them to come for me. I'm about to go back there. Well, fun fact, I'm actually getting ready to return to grad school for the second time around. There's a story behind that. No, I don't got two masters.
Don't do it.
So see, what had happened was, as we said, I went to school for English and Communications. I graduated in 2015. When I graduated, I had completed one internship. For me, I would say internships are essential. Now, I don't know if they're integral to every field of study, but I know that for me, I wished I would have done more internships, even if they're ass. Even if you get fired, what you're getting is context.
Mm-hmm.
What I've learned is that people are vital. They
stuff
don't
on your resume.
They don't actually care if you fit the job descriptions. They don't care if you got skipped. They don't care if you could do the damn job. What they care about a lot of the time is who you know.
Mm-hmm.
So
You need to find a way to get comfortable, I think, plugging yourself and, like, promoting yourself. I'm like, I know it's not for everybody, and it can feel, like, real phony, because most of the time it is. All of these jobs are actually phony. But you need to learn how to play the game, and I wish that somebody had told me that. So when I graduated, my first job right out of college, I worked as a library assistant, which wasn't terrible, because I had done that as a student in undergrad, but I low-key hated that job.
Like, I worked in the library too, and I liked it. It was peaceful.
No, I liked that job as a student. Doing it as a professional was, like, completely different, because one, I had to do it for 40 hours a week versus the, like, 5 hours a week that we were working, you know, as work study students. And because I was a library assistant at two different libraries for, like, a really big private institution, it just felt like a lot of bullshit. So, like, students, you know, getting mad at you about stuff you had no control over. People, like, throwing their, like, library cards at you as if they were, like, projectiles.
I remember those stories.
And it was, like, severely underpaid. I think I was making $28,000 a year. Oof. With my 4-year degree, they gave me $45,000 in debt.
Fun fact, I was making, like, 20,000, 23,000 when I graduated, and was working at a hotel.
So nothing.
So that translates to about, like, $10 an hour for 2 years. I did get raises, but it wasn't what I was in debt for. And I was back in school.
Like, I don't know what the stats are, but they probably put us just barely above, like, whatever the poverty line is. But it was okay, because I was, like, living at home, so I ain't feel hit yet. I started to feel hit after I decided to go to grad school. So I worked for a year as a library assistant, and then I was like, oh, my God, fashion. I am going to be in New York. I am going to be
a New York state of mind.
Exactly. In the industry. I was like, you know, they say the lights are bright on Broadway. And I thought that I was going to be Anna Wintour. But I ended up being hungry. So I went to Parsons School of Design. I was there for all of 6 months. Packed my knapsack. I lived on the Upper East Side of Manhattan at the YMCA. Don't for 1 second think it was glamorous. I lived in a dorm and, like, shared showers. But, like, the location was dope. And it was New York. What I will say about that city is it is a great place if you want to be a creative. But if you don't know nobody there and you ain't got a little bit of money when you moved here, you're going to be either sad or hungry or both. I was both. So I went there. And basically, the program I was in was a fashion studies MA, and there was no option to go part-time. So I had to go to class full-time, and classes were during the day. Most grad classes are at night because you're a working adult by that point. But I didn't have the option to really work full-time. So I was working part-time as a work-study student at the health center. And I worked as a personal assistant for some white lady who told me that her $800 coat was a steal. And I was like, okay. So I stayed there for 6 months. At some point, I didn't really give a damn about, like, the shit that I was studying, because I was going to class with, like, students who had on, like, $300 shoes. And, like, I didn't even have $30 most of the time to get groceries. Fun fact, I lost 10 pounds while I was there.
Nice.
And not because I started lifting weights and trying to get it right in sight. It was because I didn't have no income, because I couldn't really work enough to sustain myself. So I was actually, like, high-key hungry most of the time.
I was like, bro, send me a, like, a little link or something.
I came back here and be like, oh no, what's happening?
Why you disappeared? Bigger than your body right now. I started to look bigger than your body, boy.
I started to look like all them superheroes at the end of Infinity Wars when they just started like disappearing. That was me, but like slowly.
I was like, bro, if you don't send me a, like, a little link or something, I could send you $5 so you can eat.
I was having people cash at me like $5 for, like, a sandwich, like.
I was working. I could have sent you $5.
Like, it really was a hot mess. I'm like,
out here being destitute.
And basically, I'm like, I could joke about it, you know, but, like, having to, like, message your doctor and be like, I'm sad. Please give me some chemicals so that I don't have to be sad. Please give me pills. I'm like, that's not a good feeling. And I think being in an environment like that, and getting to that state because you were so ill prepared, like, it's not something I would wish on anybody. So we, you know, I say all that to say that This time, I hope that I'm more prepared. I'm going back for a different program. I'm trying to be sexual health educator and counselor. Exactly. And this program will allow me to, you know, work full time and go to class at night. So I feel much better about it now. And I actually do have faith that this degree is going to be worth a damn, unlike my first one. So that's been my path.
Well, it's a bit more practical.
Yeah.
And I think that's the key. So I guess to kind of segue into that. And then I have a question for you, my dear. I am considering going back right now for... I was thinking about an MBA, but I don't want to do no math because I haven't done legitimate math since 2010.
I don't want somebody to be like, count with me.
Right. And I don't... Okay. I'm not pre-calc, calculus...
Statistics, geometry.
I was like, what? Like 90% of the time in high school. So I'm going to play myself and like sit somewhere pretending I know what I'm talking about.
Congrats. Please.
Exactly. I don't want to play myself. So I'm going to just go ahead and like look into the like human resources. Mm-hmm. So, Masters of Science, which will put me on a trajectory to be like in counseling, organizational development, human capital, recruiting, management, leadership skills, stuff like that, which you really do need if you're trying to like be in the business world. Mm-hmm. And there's always a need for human resources, you guys. Mm-hmm. Just know that. So if you're interested, HR is like the grown up version of being an RA. If you need to put it in some like simple terms. Yeah. So
there's always also a need for mental health.
There is.
Okay.
And so it's
you
a
can
growing
get
paid market
for your empathy.
Yes.
Stop giving that shit away for free. Stop performing emotional labor. Black women.
Yes. Like they said, and you know, they said, oh, we need a black woman to like give Kanye a hug. Ain't nobody hugging
that
motherfucker.
If you pay me for a per hour session, otherwise I ain't hugging
him. I'll hug him for like $2 million. Maybe it'll make him feel better. Mm-hmm. I'll be set. I go on vacation. I quit my job. I go back to school 5 million times. Because it don't cost. I could pay off my student loans. I want money to pay my bills. Mm-hmm. That's what I would use my money for. Mm-hmm. But why do you think our parents, because like as a millennial, and I have an article I want to like talk about as well. But why do you think our parents made college seem like the only option when you were like coming out of school? Did your parents do that for you?
Not really.
Okay.
My parents didn't actually really explore options. Like, I don't really know how to, like, describe it. I will say, like, I don't really feel like my parents pushed me either way. I think my mom, because she went to college later in life, so she was, like a non-traditional student when mm-hmm. she went. But she, like, did complete her master's. I think she's a big proponent of, like, higher ed, like, low-key. She wasn't really in my ear. Like, oh, you know, get these scholarships, do all these extracurriculars, you know, groom yourself to mm-hmm. be accepted at, like, top schools. So it wasn't, like, that kind of pressure. I think I, like, placed that pressure on myself, honestly. I don't know, like, how or kind of where I got the idea from. I think I just knew that I was meant to, like, learn beyond secondary education. And I think I just kind of pushed myself to want to go to college. I don't really feel like my parents ever really pushed that because my dad, he didn't go to college. Mm-hmm. Honestly, for him, he didn't really see a need for it and his family couldn't afford it.
Right.
He does, you know, say that there's, if anything, he would have learned to trade, but he doesn't really seem like he regrets not going to school. In fact, he thinks I need to stop going to school. I just keep going back.
I ended up on the other spectrum of that. I was encouraged highly to go to school. Even still at this point, I am highly encouraged to continue my schooling process and go and get a doctorate. And I refuse to pay for a PhD anywhere. Mm-hmm. I'm like, there's nothing that I want to do that requires me to have a PhD.
Yeah.
And are you paying for it, parent? Because if you ain't paying for it, I ain't going. I don't care. Yeah. I went for my master's and my bachelor's for my parent. And I realized that. Now, anything that I do after that is for Sierra. Mm-hmm. And I'm not taking nothing else. Like, nope, it's not happening. I'm not going. But it was like, up. If you want to make more money in the long term, you'll go and get your bachelor's. But everybody, it's like, tasting a rainbow. Like, you could go open a pack of Skittles and everybody got one, because that's what college is. Everybody don't. I seen some people who looked like they was about mentally challenged as hell, and I'm saying it in a very PC way. Go to school with us. Yes, or that as well. Go to school, get their bachelor's, and then graduate with us.
It's just people who didn't seem like they were there school to do school at all. They were there for the housing or something. They was there for like the camaraderie.
They were there because they got some weird for their kids to stay.
Every athlete was an education major. I don't know who they were teaching.
Bro, they out here teaching folks.
They got jobs, yo.
They teaching folks. Like, I know a lot of them that's like, oh, I'm the gym teacher and like I teach math. And it's like, but you didn't know math in college.
I mean, the gag is athletes get a lot more aid than most like academic performers at like these colleges, but that's none of my business.
She had her throwing shots, so I feel like there was no other option for me. My brother went to college. He went to CCP, finished with his associates, and then attempted to go to Temple, but he didn't finish. My mother went to college, but she didn't finish. So I'm the only one in my family that has a master's, I believe. My father didn't go to college at all. He finished high school, and that was about it.
We about to get into black folks in college specifically is what I like to talk about. I mean, based off kind of like some of your experiences, do you think that some black people are out here, one, maybe going to school the first time around because they're like a first generation college student, meaning that like they maybe feel some kind of pressure to kind of do what their parents couldn't or do what their siblings couldn't, and beyond that, do you think that if students getting like more advanced degrees because they feel that pressure as well, or because maybe they want to take care of their family?
I think that can play a part in a lot of families. I know for me, I didn't necessarily feel that it was because I was like first generation anything, because my like two cousins, one is a RN, a registered nurse, and the other one is an architect that works in the Center City office downtown. My cousin from under my uncle, she went to Syracuse, and I think she studied some type of music program or something like that. I don't know. But that was like all of the grandchildren on my mother's side that went to college. On my father's side, they didn't go to college. They probably just finished high school. So I guess from my father's family, I'm probably as far as I know right now, I am the highest educated person on my father's side of the family, of his siblings. And I don't, he wasn't around, like he passed away when I was young, so I couldn't say, oh, he would have been pushing me or anything like that. But my mom definitely pushed me. She told me that my dad definitely, you know, wanted us to kind of like further our education. I think black families do that, and I know that that happens a lot with like immigrants. Like, so people that are coming from like, you know, our African brethren,
yeah,
our Haitian brethren,
anyone from like the Caribbean, yeah,
yes, yeah. Or even our Latino brethren as well. I think that they have more of that push from their families, like as the first generation so and so.
I think that you can see that a lot in their potential and in the fields that they go into,
sciences.
Exactly. We don't want to generalize, but this is based off what we see, and I'm sure there are stats to support this. You know, a lot of black immigrants end up going into, you know, science or finances, maybe because of this push or this pressure that they feel. And a lot of the times they outperform.
They do outperform African-American,
you know, people with degrees.
But I think it's because of the push. They have that push because they are trying to be like the first generation family member to go to college, and they do have to take care of their family members. And I know like one of my ex-boyfriend was he was Jamaican, and not that his family necessarily pushed him, but a lot of the things that he was doing was trying to have higher earning potential so that he could like help his family members. Like, he's like, oh, I want to make, you know, more money, and then like in a year I can like send for my mom to come over here, because they have to go through like the processing and like visas and like all this different stuff, and they need money, and that takes time. So I think that families that are in that predicament have to think about stuff strategically and long term, mm-hmm. like the long term end game for stuff. Mm-hmm. Where black folks, we already here, and we like, well, I'm gonna just go because you know my mommy said I needed to get a bachelor's degree to have work money, or they didn't say anything at all. Yeah. And I think we have the luxury of being an American. You know, for our like white counterparts,
for whatever that means,
we have the luxury of being an American because we are in the system that is set up for us to prosper. And I put that in air quotes, people. I know it's not, but we have a little, we have like a little bit more leg room than our like immigrant counterparts. So like that, you know, Caribbeans, Africans, Latino, Asians, mm-hmm. Anybody that's not from here, and our white counterparts who go to school, but they have the financial backing that we don't. Mm-hmm. My mom didn't really have money. She took out a few loans. I had to borrow some money from my godparent at some point to stay on campus. Mm-hmm. But that's not everybody's story. Yeah. Some people go with full rides. Some people go and they got to take out all the money on mm-hmm. their own backs. Mm-hmm. But
we just gonna get into that debt. But I found a really good article that talked about the racial wealth gap. Specifically, mm-hmm. it talks about the wealth gap between black and white people who hold degrees. And it said that there was a study done, and it said that the gap in student debt held by black and white borrowers grows by 6.8% each year. And as a result, black young adults hold 10.4% less wealth on average than their white counterparts due to differences in student loan debt. And essentially, it's saying that young black adults struggle more than their white counterparts mm-hmm. Because black people are more likely to have degrees from institutions that are worth less in the labor market, and because of, you know, employment discrimination, those kinds of, you know, fun things. And most of the time we end up being screwed by the time, you know, we hit our like mid-20s, 30s and beyond because we fall behind on a lot of our student loan payments during the like repayment process. So there are stats to back up that a lot of the time white folks with degrees are doing better than the black folks who have them.
So I have an article where they're saying basically, you know, everybody isn't college material. And what a world that would be like. I feel like there's definitely pressure for people to kind of like go through the process, like applications, going to school, graduating, trying to get a good job. But everybody isn't. There's other options than to go to college.
Yeah, and I think what they mean by that, like in my mind, if I had to interpret whatever college material means, not everybody is a test taker. Mm-hmm. Not everybody is a really good written communicator.
Facts.
So like most of the time you're doing a lot of bullshit writing, mm-hmm. a lot of bullshit researching, and you're taking a lot of bullshit tests. So if you are not somebody who is able to kind of like internalize a lot of information mm-hmm. and then throw it away for the purposes of like passing these tests or writing 20 page papers, then being in that kind of like traditional learning setting probably ain't for you.
So they said in this article, they said, what if such a cautionary sermon that you're not cut out for college is exactly what teenagers need? And I know that I went to a preparatory school, high school, when I was coming up, and the push to go to college was like, oh man, like we got 50% of our students accepted to college. Like everybody got all their letters. They running around like, oh my God, Penn State accepted me. Temple accepted me. Drexel, Villanova, all of the like, you know, big schools. And it's like, what if encouraging students to take a shot at the college track, despite very long odds of crossing its finishing line, does them more harm than good? And it's like, I guess the parents or these already educated adults that are trying to like nurture these children in high school are coming from their like privileged, been through it already. College was different back in like 1990, even mm-hmm. where it didn't cost $45,000 to go to school. You could mm-hmm. work full time and pay for your college degree. And now it's like you going to school, you paying $45,000 a year. Mm-hmm. like
to end up with about $100,000 in debt
if you don't have
about 27
to come out to make about 27,000. It's like there's other ways to get to this middle class track. Mm-hmm. That's what you're saying. You the pathways to the middle class, including some that might be a lot more viable for a great many young people. What if we should be following the lead of countries like Germany, where tracking isn't a dirty word but a common sense way to prepare teenagers for well-respected paid work? Here's a stark fact. According to research by Georgetown's Anthony Carnival and Jeff Stroll, less than 10% of poor children now graduate with a four-year college degree. Imagine that all of our reform efforts prove successful, from initiatives to bolster the prenatal health of disadvantaged babies to high-quality early childhood experiences to dramatic improvements in K-12 education to serious interventions and supports at the college level. You don't get that. Nobody is helping you. Nobody, they don't care where you're coming from. Like, they're just like cranking them out. Like, you on Ferris wheel. Gotta get more bodies in these schools.
Who is that? Like the school people, the recruiters?
The recruiters, your counselors that who helped you in college or in high school.
Yeah. These people are, so far as I'm concerned, look at everybody. And when you, if you are in the process of maybe visiting colleges, if you are like somewhere between 16 and 18 right now, just know, I don't know, you know, don't be, I hope that, is it, are they old enough to listen to us? I hope so.
Yeah.
You might as well consider old.
Tell your
consider
little
your
sister.
Guidance counselor, consider your admissions people, consider financial aid people, they're sales people.
Yeah.
It is their job to get you there, whether or not you pass with flying D's, or if you drop out, they still gonna get them loans from you, I promise. Thanks. You. They want at least one good year of debt from you. So keep that in mind when they like, you know, selling you these dreams.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying.
Just keep it in mind. There's other ways to success, guys.
I've been one of those sales people. I have worked for the man.
Why would you do that?
I was a financial aid rep for a university that shall go unnamed in case, you know, they try to silence me. And I actually found like some recent developments about like government financial aid, which I didn't know was happening. This is happening under the Trump administration. They're trying to push legislation called the PROSPER Act.
Mm.
What does that mean? Let me see. So to kind of give you some background, since 2014, student loan debts have increased from $260 billion to roughly $1.4 trillion. And essentially what this PROSPER Act is trying to do is reduce Pell Grants. So it's going to restrict eligibility for Pell Grants. If you don't know what a Pell Grant is, it's like a grant you can get from the government if you are pretty much considered extremely, extremely poor.
Me.
I think your EFC. So when you complete the FAFSA and it tallies up the amount of money that you should be able to pay.
Mm-hmm.
If your EFC is zero, you're eligible for a Pell Grant. Government is trying to like do away with it.
Because
I'm sorry, not
the
government.
Be,
Trump is trying to do away.
They want us to be
that.
Poorer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, what I've noticed, and this isn't something that we like pre-talked about, but what I've noticed are I've been looking into like different programs to go back to school because I'm crazy. But schools have been cutting their tuition. Have you noticed this?
I feel like it's baloney. I feel like they've been telling the public and the media that they have reduced tuition. I think sticker prices seem like they have changed, but there's also a lot of like funky stuff happening to students' financial aid as a result of that. Like they lowering tuition, but they're also lowering people's financial aid and like cutting corners.
Nice. So I feel like I never paid. So the school that we went to, it was about $40,000 a year, and it kept going up every year that we were there. And they recently just like cut the sticker price on what they were, you know, selling their services for.
Yeah, it's damn near free to go there.
And they cut it in half. So it's about $20,000 now. But I didn't pay that anyway. Like, I didn't pay 40. I had a lot of aid for the 4 years that I was there. And I didn't pay. I think I came out. it was 40,000 times four, and I came out with 40,000 in debt. Yeah. So I only paid for like a year.
Yeah, I definitely
of going similar. To school. Yeah,
I mean, I think that in terms of that's still a lot of money.
That's a lot of money.
I honestly still think,
but there's people that came out with $100,000 in
who
debt.
Who went to schools that appeared to be much lower, like Temple.
Right.
They like, oh, Temple's a state school, but it's $18,000 a year, but you got $300,000 in
debt. But they didn't. They don't give financial aid. So yeah. Like our school gave financial aid, and then I was able to get like student loans, but I only came out with $40,000,
mm-hmm. which isn't bad, but I'm now currently at $70,000 because my one failed semester of grad school cost me $30,000. So even
what
if you,
the
gag
fuck?
Is, if you don't finish your degree, they don't care. You still gotta pay. You could drop out in the middle of like spring semester. They still gonna charge you. You still gonna have to pay.
Did you get a refund check at least?
I think my refund was for like $800. Exactly.
Better get that rose, mm-hmm, my money.
fun fact, you know, if you guys do want to like track the Prospects Act or find out more about that, the way they're setting that up, a borrower with $30,000 in student loan debt would need 138 years to repay their loan if they make these cuts to federal financial aid. Chew on that. Yeah. You got 138 years to pay. I'm gonna be dead. Who paying that?
Your kid.
That mean you're like great, great, great. They gonna tap your godchildren to pay. They gonna make like your neighbor two doors down pay this 138 years to pay off $30,000. How about that?
So I think that it's a scam. I think going to school is a scam for certain fields. If the school isn't keeping up with latest industry standards. So, like, if you're going for your MBA and a professor's talking about stuff that was popular in the 1990s because they use old-ass textbooks, you probably shouldn't be in that program. I'm just saying. You probably shouldn't. There's other ways to get your, like, knowledge in that case. So, let's go ahead, because we asked the question to you guys.
We did, because we wanted to know if you think, you know, it's a scam. Meaning, do you think that it's worth going, period? And if you went, was it worth it? Were you able to work it?
Did you
push your thing down?
Did it put it down? So I asked the question on my Facebook, and I got a million responses, and we shared it all over Facebook, our social medias, mm-hmm. our Instagram, yeah. And we got some great responses. So I'm going to read some of my favorites. Do you have any favorites that you want to read?
I have one favorite.
One favorite.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So one of my listeners, one of our listeners, give you a shout out, Kiara Smith. She said that it was worth it. Not many schools offered my major, so employers are intrigued by it. Guess her alma mater. She went to our school as well. Wasn't so terrible. So I'm like, I don't know if it was, but I guess I can see that working out for someone who has like a criminal background degree. I don't know. Like, what would be an interesting major where people are like, oh, you went to school for like forensic science or something? Is that interesting? I don't know. What do you think?
I believe a school like, so FITM, I think Fashion Institute of Design and Merchandise in LA, they offer social media as a major.
That's weird.
I believe you can get either an associate's or a bachelor's in social media currently.
Okay.
You Generation Z people.
they gonna have all the monies. And another listener said, Christine, shout out to Christine. She said, it's paying off. I'm glad to have found work in my field, communications. What? But it took a bit before the whole thing fell into place. I may have done it differently in retrospect, knowing what I know now. But part of that was working in higher ed reform and learning things that no one will ever tell you about financing college. So I agree with that. I think that you need a better guidance system while you're in college, because if you don't, then you're just going to sit somewhere for the next like 3, 4, or 5 years afterwards. And you're like, I don't know what to do with myself. I'm like, use whatever crazy degree I have, typically in humanities, and try and figure it out. And then you're getting $27,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
So what did your person say?
My person, at Young Black and Gifted, said, the economy is trash. Well,
You need 200 years of experience for entry level jobs. I mean, she might be right. You need 200 years to pay off that for them 138 years. It's going to take you to pay off that.
Maybe they'll give us pills so we can live longer and then we can pay them off. What you think?
In the Matrix, she said there's literally very little chance of you finding a job in your field of study. And again, this is, you know, a general statement, but again, it very much does depend on what you study in, because anesthesiologists making bank. She said the interest rates on some of the loans make it seem like you'll never get out of the sunken place.
Facts.
Student loans is indeed the sunken place. I think federal E is about to become the second place. So get out.
Get it while you still can, and then get the hell out of there before, you know, something crazy happens, like Trump's still in office.
Before he helps us all prosper, in quotation marks. So, you know, my last question before we get into wrapping it on up is, what's one piece of advice about pursuing any kind of degree anywhere, rather, you know, bachelor's level, master's, blah, 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 that you wish somebody would have told you? And what's your piece for someone who is considering going to school or returning to school for another degree?
I wish somebody had told me that if you go to college and you don't know what you want to do, that when you graduate college, you still won't know what you want to do. So you probably should wait till you know something before you go. Otherwise, you're going to waste like 7 years trying to figure that out. And by the time you really figure it out, you'll already be in debt with a degree that you probably regret a little bit and you probably won't be using. And you'll end up trying to go back again because you're addicted to thinking it's going to give you more money. What I would tell other people is exactly what I wish someone had told me. If you are this is going to be great advice. Go somewhere, go to Temple, go to Drexel, go to Villanova, go to LaSalle, go to a university or college that has resources. Because if you don't have resources on campus that can help everybody, not just a select few people, that can help everybody, advisors that give a damn, a career center that gives a damn, programs that are giving you skills that employers actually are interested in, then you're going to sit somewhere for the next 5 years, like looking at yourself like, why am I doing this? This isn't helping me. And unless you're a networker, like unless you going to get in everybody's face, a liberal arts college that's like really small isn't going to help you succeed in life. But if you are someone who's like a weirdo and you don't want to talk to people and ask questions, go somewhere big. You'll be a little fish, but there will be countless resources to help you out.
I mean, it could be. I think that there are some liberal arts schools that might be able to, even if they don't have maybe the massive funding for resources, they might just have better staff. They might employ people who can actually help you. Unlike
that wasn't my case.
Well, unlike in 2011, where our like counselor at our liberal arts college told me to like check the want ads in the newspaper. In 2011, yo, like iPhones were around. She told me to pick up the Daily News and look for a job. And I was appalled. That's the kind of like career help. And
now, as a human resources representative professional, we don't post in newspapers, so that's not going to find you a job. You're not going to make no money.
I don't be seeing no more job lists in the newspaper. don't do that. Let's be better than that. Schools, when you are vetting these people who are supposed to provide some kind of guidance, either academic, financial, or career, please do better. I need you to do better on like behalf of the future generations. What I wish somebody would have told me is to stop being lazy. I was extremely lazy if I only did one internship. If I only had one major. It was people out here triple minoring,
graduating with their bachelor's and master's in like 5 years. That could have been us.
People who had, I think, tenacity. I wish somebody had told me to stop being lazy bum. And maybe I could have been like better off and only had to go to school one time. And I think what I would tell, you know, future students, I would tell them that community college is okay. So but that's an option for you. But in terms of, I think, reducing costs of 4 year schooling, I almost wish that I had started out at a 2 year college and then transferred TBH.
Fair enough.
Like, I think community colleges get a bad rap.
They can CCP. I know a lot of people that went to CCP and they get trapped in that motherfucker until for 4 years.
Yeah,
4 or 5 years because they this is a cash cow. Mm-hmm. I feel like I don't. I wouldn't suggest going to a
maybe not. A community college. I don't know what the other, we don't know what all the community colleges are like across the country, but just
if they're like
our local one. They ain't been doing so hot for people, but
suspect.
I'd like to think that, you know, some of them are okay and can be used as like a good springboard to eventually end up with a 4-year degree. So we want to thank y'all for listening.
Yes.
Tell the people where to find us. Here.
You can find us on Facebook, Instagram. We do run a Twitter as well.
We do. Occasionally Twitter runs us, but like we might see us on there once a month.
You might see us. Mm-hmm. But if you're looking for us, definitely on Instagram, definitely on Facebook. That's the Get Your Life Project. Mm-hmm. That
that's
is
at
Get
YLP. That's at
what?
G-E-T. YLP.
That is.
That's also our hashtag.
That is.
Hashtag Get. YLP.
Yep.
And also use hashtag pod in. It's another way for you to connect with us. Mm-hmm. Connect with, you know, with some other shows.
And while you're listening to us, please leave commentary. I mean, we're listening to it. We'll respond to it on the next episode.
You we can shout, get a shout out.
We give shout outs.
We like new friends and new people.
Yes.
Our friends.
Yes. So mm-hmm. that is what? At?
That's at Gets YLP. That's the Get Your Life Project on Facebook, mm-hmm. Twitter, Instagram. And listen to us on.
And what do we have as well, Tiffany?
We are on Google Play, mm-hmm. Apple Music, mm-hmm. SoundCloud, mm-hmm. and Spreaker. I don't know what that is, but we on there.
We're on there.
That's an option. That if you don't SoundCloud, you know, we speak on Spreaker.
We do.
You can find us on there. You can comment, mm-hmm. like, and subscribe on most of those sites. And if you have questions, we like being asked things. We like answering things.
Yep.
If you have comments, we're always looking for show suggestions.
And if you want to be a guest.
If you want to be a guest.
We're starting a pool of guests mm-hmm. that will be like cycling through. Mm-hmm. So feel free to throw your hat in the ring and we will pull you up and onto the show so mm-hmm. you can talk about your life and your woes. And that is our email. That is the Get Ya YA Life Proj, P-R-O-J, at gmail.com. The Get Ya YA Life Proj, mm-hmm. P-R-O-J, at gmail.com.
Mm-hmm. For the hard of hearing, or people just don't like email. Again, that is G-E-T mm-hmm. Y-A mm-hmm. L-I-F-E mm-hmm. P-R-O-J
yep.
at gmail.com. Mm-hmm. Sponsors.
Yes.
That goes for you because, you know, we want to do content. Mm-hmm. We want to go outside.
Me Popcorners.
We want to take trips. We want to take trips.
We do.
We want to come to you.
Mm-hmm.
We want to bring us. We want to bring you the show.
We do.
Okay. And we want you to bring us y'all.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, so email us all of those things.
Yes.
And, you know, I told Sierra that, like, my Uber on the way to the studio was rocking.
Was.
They was rocking with, like, the best of the 80s.
What was they singing?
They was singing a song that I think is going to be our clothing selection for the day.
Yes.
And it goes a little something like, lean on me.
When you're not strong, and I'll be your friend.
I'll be your friend.
I'll help you carry on. For it won't be long.
It won't.
I'm gonna need somebody to lean on.